Friends, will you pray with me, please? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this is a season of music and celebrations and, of course, Christmas movies. And one of my personal favorite Christmas movies of all time is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. If you haven't seen the film, you need to see it. But in the film, the protagonist, a man by the name of Clark Griswold, is determined that he and his wife Ellen and their two teenage children are going to host their extended family for what Clark calls a good old-fashioned family Christmas. Clark has a huge heart and will not entertain any notions of sending family to stay in a hotel. So the teenagers give up their bedrooms to their elders, and everyone crowds into the house together. And just when it seems like Clark and Ellen have got a handle on things, all 25,000 imported Italian twinkle lights are twinkling. Just as the house guests are settled in, there's a wild card. They didn't count on Cousin Eddie. How many of you have a Cousin Eddie in your family? How many of you are with Cousin Eddie tonight? No, don't really raise your hand. They didn't count on Eddie. Eddie and his wife Catherine and their children and their dog lovingly named Snots show up unexpected and unannounced. And they're standing all in the front yard, kind of blinking Clark and Ellen, and Cousin Catherine sheepishly says to her hostess, "We were going to call, but Eddie wanted it to be a surprise." And Ellen and Clark look at each other and exchange a look, and with wide eyes, and Ellen smiles fakely and says, "Sure, we've got plenty of room, plenty of everything." Perhaps you have had a similar experience. Perhaps you're having a similar experience this weekend. Perhaps you've been the host or a guest at an event or a holiday that has drawn your extended family together and you crowd into someone's home. And some folks pile up on the pull-out couch, you know, the one with the bar right in the middle of the back. And kids make blanket forts on the floor and every available square foot of the house is occupied and the bathroom too. Y'all have been on that family holiday. Well, keep that image in mind of a house filled with in-laws, with aunts and uncles and cousins as we read these familiar words from the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. Listen now for a word from God. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. She laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. No room at the inn. In most of our Christmas pageants and Christmas movies, it's depicted this way. Joseph and Mary, weary from their travels, present themselves at the front desk of something that looks like an ancient Near Eastern Motel 6. And a sleepy desk clerk informs them that there's no vacancy, but he kindly offers them shelter in the barn, out in the back. Usually that's how this story is depicted in our Christmas movies and nativity scenes. And I want to lift up for you something that's happening in the text here that we may not always notice. And that's the word that Luke, the Greek word that Luke uses in English that we translate as inn. It can also be translated as guest room. And so I wonder if maybe what Luke has in mind for us here isn't something that looks like a business establishment, but something that's sort of temporary lodging, something that's just put together for the time being, more like a guest room or a blanket fort rather than a freestanding hotel. And we know from the study of archaeology that in the first century world, people, especially people of limited means, usually didn't have enough supplies to construct a structure for themselves and their animals. Modest homes were constructed such that animals and humans all were under the same roof, with the animal stalls on street level and the family quarters in something kind of like a loft up above. And so I wonder if Joseph and Mary, if they traveled down from Galilee down to Bethlehem to register for the census, and they had the intent of staying in the home of a member of the extended family. Joseph, we're told, was in the house and line of David. Presumably, he had some distant relatives, an aunt or uncle or a cousin thrice removed with whom he could stay. But when they got to the house, it was already full. Full of in-laws, aunts, uncles, cousins who had all also come to town to register for the census. And so because there was no room for them in the guest room, the only space was down below with the animals. I wonder if the picture that Luke is painting for us is that the Savior of the world comes into the world, not in some other structure in the back, but right in the middle. Right in the middle of the house, right in the middle of this big chaotic family, right in the middle of everyday life, whether the family's ready or not, whether there's room or not, Jesus comes. And he is Emmanuel, God with us. My friend, I know you and I have been taught to be polite, and we should be. We've been taught that faith should be a mostly private affair. It should be something we keep in the back. Something we can go and visit and check on from time to time, but otherwise not really in the middle of our affairs. But I wonder if Christmas means that God comes into the world, not somewhere out of sight, not somewhere out of the way, but right into the middle of your life. This child whose birth we mark tonight, his nickname is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. You know, I often wonder on Christmas Eve about who's going to show up for these kinds of services. What burdens do you bring with you? Where have you come from? How did you find us? Why are you here? All those things I wonder about. But I know this, my friend. Whatever reason you are here tonight, God is with you. God is with you, not just on this one night of the year, not just for an hour or two on a Sunday morning a few times a month. No, God is right with you in the middle of it all. In the middle of the stress and the joy. In the middle of the frustrations and the beauty. God is right in the middle of it all. The last carol that we will sing tonight puts it this way. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every heart prepare him room. And as the theologian Clark W. Griswold declares boldly and loudly, we are all in this together. Emmanuel means God is with us. And this night is born for us in the city of David, a Savior, who is the Messiah. See, God is coming into the world, and not just to individuals here and there, singles or groups of two or three. No, God comes into the world in the middle of this huge extended family we call the church. A church full of its Clarks and Ellens and Eddies and Catherines and even Snots. A family full of squabbles and irritations, to be sure. But a family who gathers all around the world this night to welcome the Christ child into the middle of this house. Thanks be to God. Amen.